Chapter 7. As Christabel played, Genevieve considered the outsiders. Something about them disturbed her. She saw Ambrosio's lips tighten as Antonia showed her legs. She felt the strange hostility between the cleric of Moor and the merchant of Miragliano. These men hadn't chosen to travel together, and both had things to hide. She imagined travelling, coaches crossing the old world, from Istalia to Britonia, from the Empire to Kislev. There were great cities, Paravon, Altdorf, Marienburg, Erengrad, Zufbar, and unknown far-distant countries, Cathay, Lustria, Nippon, the Darklands. She believed she had spent all her life at Udolpho, never leaving its walls, as much a prisoner as invalid Matilda, or the altered son Ravaglioli and Flamineo were rumoured to have penned in a cellar, fed only on human flesh. All she could remember was Udolpho, and she couldn't even remember much of that. There were huge gaps in her recollection, and yet impressions of things she could never have known sometimes came to her. Christabel played strangely, letting her juice dreams seep through as she embroidered around the edges of a familiar piece. Her tangle of black hair flew back as she nodded her head in time to the savage music. The music disturbed Genevieve more. In her mind, she was a predator, tearing out the throats of her prey, her teeth sinking into flesh, delicious blood gushing into her mouth, trickling over her chin, flowing over her bosom. Her nails had become sharp, and her teeth shifted in her mouth, the enamel reshaping. There were other dream memories crowding in. Faces, names, places, events. Things she could never have known she experienced. She remembered a crowd attacked by invisible forces, and the kiss of a dark, handsome man who had changed her. She remembered a queenly woman, her face and arms red with blood, dressed in the costume of an earlier age. She remembered an iron bracelet and a chain, tying her to a rough-faced man, and a night in an inn. She remembered twice venturing into a castle to face a great enchanter. She remembered a theatre and a striking actor, and her flight from him, from his city. She remembered a thing with the body of a sea creature and the eyes of a man. All these things were more than dreams, and yet they did not fit with the life Genevieve knew she had lived, a quiet, secluded, forgotten life in this castle. Christabel's shoulders heaved, and sweat fell from her face. Flamineo grunted from time to time. Music was sinful in her mind, and she rejected her daughter's talent. Sometimes Christabel killed her mother, choking the life out of her with a silken scarf, or battering her with a stone torn out of the walls of the house. Sometimes, when Flamineo worked up a righteous frenzy, it was the other way around, and she would denounce her daughter as a witch, standing by smugly while the villagers dragged her to the stake and Pintaldi lovingly nurtured the bonfire. The cleric of Moor was looking at her. He was a foreigner, and didn't strike her as being a real cleric. Even Ambrosio had something about him that suggested holy orders, no matter how many times his hands reached into skirts or bodices. Alexander was not the type to bow to any god, or to any man. Was it just that he was too good-looking to be a celibate of Moor? His hood was down, and his throat was exposed. She saw the delicate blue vein threading up into his unkempt, still wet beard, and imagined she could detect its pulse by sight. Genevieve licked her lips with a rough tongue.